Hello, viewers. Welcome to Tat Capital's podcast today. We have Daniel Raj, David, co-founder of Detect Technologies with us. Quickly to summarize what Detect Technologies does, they have a whole suite of products which allows for early detection of various structural issues in the oil and gas sector, and mainly around safety and also enabling to study remotely on various issues pertaining to lost time, if there was a plant shutdown or potential injury time issues. Basically, the whole suite of products that Detect provides allows for various of operational health and safety hazards and operational inefficiencies, so to speak, to be monitored real time for the major oil and gas sector and many other related industries track real time. So on that note, Daniel, welcome.
Quick
introduction to your firm leading up to our webinar coming up on the 29th. So if you could maybe help the listeners with your journey till date and what actually prompted you to establish Detect Technology and what prompted and maybe a bit of a background about your career to understand your current interest in Detect Technologies.
Sure, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Ram. Thanks for having me, firstly. And the story of Detect is an interesting one. I myself am a mechanical engineer by background, and I studied in a university called the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras. It's considered one of the leading universities over here in India, especially for engineering, right? So I think back in 2013, I had been working with a professor called Professor Krishnan Balasubramanian, and his lab is called the Center for Non-Destructive Evaluation. It's considered one of the best labs in the world for NDE. And NDE is basically the ability to assess a structure without harming a structure, like your ultrasound, your thermography, etc. So that's where I met my co-founding team. We didn't know we would be a co-founding team at that point, but we were all from various departments, electrical engineering. I met Tarun, who graduated in 2013 and was working in Reliance Jamnagar, which is the largest refinery in the world, in fact. So that's where I met Tarun. I met Hari and Karthik, my co-founders, who have the backgrounds of mechanical engineering, electrical engineering. We together actually built 10 different technologies for the industrial sector, because our lab collaborates with industries a lot. But then we saw, I mean, through our experience in Tarun went to Stanford, I went to Michigan. Through international experience, we saw that, you know, that in India especially, there used to be a huge gap between ready technology, like technology that is in R&D stage in universities, and technology that's available in the industries, right? There's a lot of certifications, there's a lot of testing that you have to do. So it was our vision to identify scalable areas of work and bridge that gap. So with that, we started with joint projects with Reliance. We started with joint projects with BPCL. And we came out with one of the first sensors in the world that can monitor pipeline degradation in real time at high temperatures, remotely, and for a long range. So it's one of a kind. And we are all the inventors for that technology. So we started scaling this out in Reliance, BPCL, etc. So fast forward to where we are now, which is 2020. We incorporated the company in 2016. We were 5 people. Right now, we are close to 120 employees strong, spread out across 5 different cities in India, and have a presence throughout India. Have offices in 5 different cities in India. Have an office in Singapore and an office in Houston as well. And have raised close to around $4 to $5 million of funding to scale in the international sector. So that's been our story so far. I think it was a bunch of research guys that had the passion to create a change in this industry. And now we have a suite, as you mentioned, right? We have a sensor. We build drone-based analytics so that intelligently you can have drone flights done, and drones are available throughout the world. But the feature of the visual intelligence we built in is industry-specific intelligence, taking any video data and converting it into, hey, your defects are in so-and-so areas, the according maintenance plan has to be XYZ. And then looking at plants and advising them that, you know, the algorithm has identified 25 hazard areas. If you take care of these areas proactively, you will not have to deal with as many safety incidents or lost time due to injury. So these are all the avenues in which we're aiding plants from a technology perspective to improve their efficiency and safety all over the world. So that's been our story so far.
Excellent, Daniel. Thank you for going through that introduction about your suite of products and what the value proposition you're building specifically for these sectors that you are currently focusing on. So if I could take a step forward here and ask a little more detail about the deep tech component of your technology. So where does I think our whole program, the upcoming webinar on the 29th, what we are focusing on is to showcase the deep tech capabilities of India. And do you really think India actually has the X factor to create the deep tech products and deep tech companies going forward compared to the services economy that India has very successfully created? So if you could talk a little bit about why do you think India actually has the capabilities to build the deep tech economy, and what is the deep tech component in your particular company? What are the key differentiators that actually helps you stay ahead of the competition and gives you that extra technological advantages, so to speak?
Sure. I mean, great question there. And we have an interesting view on this as well. So previously, India, as you mentioned, completely services-driven economy, even now to a large extent. But what was interesting in our experience in the US also, again, is we worked in some of the top labs that aided the US military as well, right? And we identified that a majority of the people that were working there were actually Indians from various universities back in India who are going and doing their master's and their PhD over there. So the talent exists. What was missing was the right ecosystem, the funding setup, and for the IITs to really take a step, or the universities in India to really take a step towards startups, right? And building sustainable organizations. I would say in the last 8 years, there has been a huge change in this. I mean, it was different even when we started and where the ecosystem is now. It's come a long way. I would say now we have people who are building technologies in these labs and are looking to take it out and create startups or raise funding for it, right? Like us. And there are multiple funds that support this. I mean, Bharat Fund is one of the brilliant examples, right? These funds that focus towards deep tech innovations in the country and fund. This one's a $100 million fund. You have bigger funds as well that aid in deep tech scale out. That's number two. And number three is, I think the industrial ecosystem as well has pushed for this. You have Shell, who's invested substantially in India with an R&D base in Bangalore. You have the Reliances, the BPCLs, the ONGCs. All PSUs have set up a 100 crore fund together to actually fund startups in the ecosystem. So now, coming to where, you know, we make that difference, each of our technology sets has something unique in it. For example, gums we've built. So today, I'm sure you've done a doctor's ultrasound before, that he has applied a gel on you and then taken a UT probe and put it on you, right? So that technology is age old. It works till about 80 degrees Celsius, doesn't go higher than that. But today, if you look at refineries, you have crude oil that sometimes flows between 200 to 400 degrees Celsius. So there's actually no technology to identify if your pipeline is healthy or not, right? So what plants do, they take shutdowns, they have a large operation with monitoring it, and per day of shutdown, they lose about a couple of million dollars. What our IP is in the material science space, Tarun is a metallurgy guy by background and the core inventor of the technology. It's a material that does not lose ultrasonic properties at these temperatures. A Curie temperature is the temperature beyond which you do not lose ultrasonic properties, like you start losing ultrasonic properties. The limit before was about 100 to 120 degrees Celsius. Our material actually has a Curie temperature of 420 degrees Celsius. So that's the core IP difference. And then I think a lot of it is built on top of that. With that, it gives you the ability to install these sensors permanently. It gives you the ability to monitor sections that were previously never monitored easily. And that's on the deep tech, on the hardware side, right? Another brilliant thing about India is there's a lot of deep tech built on the AI and the ML side as well, right? With respect to computer vision, with respect to even optimization algorithms. India is a great hub. It's always been a software hub, but a services hub. It is now evolving to become an AI ML driven hub as well. And there's another part where we play a role. We have close to 40 to 50 terabytes of data where we've labeled and have reached the ability to have any visual system or drone fly in an environment and identify exactly what the areas of defects are and what the areas of interest are. And this takes a large industry specific data set. You can't, it's nothing you'd find in Google, or it's not like your Facebook where you have access to all the facial information of people. So I think these are some of the areas where, you know, India has come forward and where DTECT also has specifically built an advantage with respect to deep tech. And we've retained talent. I think out of our 120 employees, we have 45 people invested in R&D. And there are many organizations coming up like us right now. Yeah.
So, Daniel, thank you for spending some time on that question. So maybe one last question before we finish up for the day. What is your view on the regulatory framework in India, either from a commercialization perspective or the global investor appetite in the current times towards companies like yourself? A lot has been spoken about the information superhighways that the government of India has invested over the last decade and a half to basically create a centralized architecture, so to speak, information architecture, information highways for an entire country's technology ecosystem to benefit. I think that's definitely been one of the key drivers, in my view, for many companies like yourselves to really take advantage of the public infrastructure the government has created. So on this kind of a backdrop, what do you think as a young inventor and an entrepreneur trying to build a product for global customer base out of India? And what has been your view as a well-traveled individual having studied in various parts of the world, and your take on the current regulatory framework for people like you guys to really thrive?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, you know, there's this is something I tell my juniors as well, people who are looking to start up. There is actually no better time to build an organization in India than now. The government ecosystem, the amount of funds available to new companies, something that did not exist before. Like, if you needed to build a career here, you either work for the big consultancy groups, or if you want to go into research, leave the country, do your research abroad. Right? That's the traditional trend. I think that's changing. I think even the IITs, for the first time, have more number of people staying back, either working in startups or starting up themselves, as opposed to going for research abroad, right? That's it's a symptom or a sign that the ecosystem is getting there, or the ecosystem is available for these sort of technologies to thrive. It's a combination of the government as well as the private players, the investors, the VCs. But I think another thing that the government has done well, at least from our perspective, from a startup perspective, is create an attractive proposition for and invest. Right? You have funds like Nexus, which is, you know, a US and like has its headquarters in the US. You have Sequoia. You have large international funds coming in here and investing substantially. SoftBank is a big participant for all of our B2C based solutions. And I think that ecosystem is only showing that India is at a place where we can take off new technology perspective. I think we still have a long way to go. The one thing where we still face hurdles as a country is manufacturing. We are not a manufacturing hub. We lose out when it comes to competing with players like China or Taiwan or Japan. And there could be a regulatory framework involved to improve that status. But on all other fronts, with respect to talent, with respect to software, with respect to opportunity, and having India as a testbed, no other place to be. I mean, it's been a great experience from our end, and we haven't faced any constraints as a startup as we've scaled across. Even when we're doing national deployments and deploying close to the border of India, this government has been extremely progressive with respect to permissions and giving us the ability to operate when, you know, a lot of these regulations are things that are not completely built out. Drone regulations are not built out in our country properly, completely yet. But the government, looking at ROI and opportunity, gives waivers, gives permissions, and ensures things are done. So that way, it's been a quite a supportive environment. Still a long way to go, but I think it's in the right path.
Daniel, one last question, please.
Sure.
What has been your experience of dealing with global customers sitting out of India, and have you seen any negotiation hurdles or come from a commercial standpoint, or yeah, trying to explain your business proposition and for its validity and for its customizability to their regulatory protocol, so to speak?
Yeah, I have a few experiences to share here. There is a huge mindset change between Indian customers and customers outside. Given, right? India is basically, the question I get asked by customers is, you know, how much does it cost, right? I need, and if you're working with the government, you have something called the L1, basically the lowest bid wins, right? Whereas abroad, the experience is completely about ROI, return on investment, where's the value, what's the value prop, and I don't mind paying a little extra for the value prop, right? Core thought process differences there. We have not had a single negotiation on price with our clients abroad because we're already supremely low cost by their standards, right? And all of our solutions are not commoditized solutions. They're heavy IP solutions. So the clients abroad are willing to pay for it, right? So negotiation wise, I think if your product can be sold in India, I think the price range is enough to be sold anywhere else. But in India, you know, they like, if a BPCL is using something, an IOCL or a HPCL, they say, you know what, just give me the same thing. Whereas, you know, if a Shell Bangalore is using something, a Shell Pennsylvania would ask me for multiple other customizations to be brought in to ensure that their experience and their ROI is maximum. So we see that there's a difference there. There's more customization required with global clients, and price is not a problem with global clients if you're able to have affordable solutions in India. So this has been our experience. And interestingly, I think this would create the change and bring India to the global landscape, because our cause, for me to build a similar team that I've built here in India, for me, if I had to do it in the US, it would have cost me at least 7 times to 8 times more. I would have spent close to $8 to $9 million to just do half of what I've done so far. So it's a place ready to burst with talent and with opportunity. And I think we are right now at the start of that graph. But yeah, this has been our experience globally.
Daniel, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us today. We look forward to interacting with you more in detail at the upcoming webinar. And thank you very much, and all the best with everything that you guys do at Detect Tech.
Of course, Ram. Thank you so much for your time. Happy to you know, reconnect sometime and discuss things more.
Excellent. I look forward to talking to you in detail on a different occasion.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ram. Take care.